Nabi al-Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of his great companions, Hazrat Hanzala radiyallahu anhu, once on one occasion, in the presence of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Hanzala came and he was at that time a little bit distressed, a little bit upset, a bit emotional, and with a sort of broken heart, you could say. He was present and he requested and said that, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Nifaqa Hanzala, that Hanzala has become a munafiq, a hypocrite. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he heard this and the other companions were present, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, why are you saying that you are a hypocrite? You have become a hypocrite. What's the reason? Why are you saying this? And then Hazrat Hanzala radiyallahu anhu presented his circumstances, his situation, his issue. And he said that, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the situation is this, that when I am present in your majlis, when I'm present in your gathering, then at that time I am influenced and affected positively with your jamal, with your ziyara, with your I see you visibly, I have the benefit of your company when you speak, then the beautiful pearls that emanate from your voice, from your statements, I embrace them and I conceal them and I listen to them and I benefit from them. And your beautiful statements are so precious that I allow those statements to come into my mind, into my heart, into my life. And I feel so strong at that time. And the condition I'm in with that time is that I feel like I can see the akhirah, that my eyes are seeing visibly the hereafter, and it feels as if I can see paradise. I can feel the paradise. I can see the scenes of paradise. And very much so at that time, I start to worry about the hereafter. What will happen after death? And then I get scared and I'm afraid. And I think, will I be treated positively or negatively? What will be my consequence? What will be my result, conclusion? And then the Prophet ﷺ said, is it? Now the situation is such that sa'atan fa sa'at, that this emotion and condition and these feelings that you have communicated to me, and this is the reality and it should be like this, that this is not a major achievement or something super, you could say, because this should occur. So the Prophet ﷺ was giving him encouragement, giving Hazrat Hanzala encouragement, and gave some advice after that. So this hadith, if we look at it and pay attention to this hadith and analyze the meaning for us, and that in which way the pious predecessors have, alhamdulillah, analyzed this hadith and given nasiha from this hadith, advice to the ummah. This condition, this situation, this was a sahabi, a companion, and he wasn't some low-level human being. Yeah, and who was he requesting and speaking to? That he said that when the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this was his generation, the risala, the prophethood, the greatest generation of all times, and the nur, the light of prophethood had spread all over, and it was a great, great time, that until the day of judgment, never will a generation come like that, that when a man sees once, split second, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's blessed face with iman in his heart, he becomes a sahabi, that after that generation, no one can come close to them, not even close to them. That's our great generation. How can we compare ourselves today to that generation? The best of all generations of the Sahaba. That generation, today's generation, that generation was lofty, high, rahmah, mercy of Allah. And this generation we're living in is Qiyamah. Which sign of Qiyamah can we not see today, I ask you? Which sign? Honestly, sometimes sit down and think and ponder, reflect, which sign of Qiyamah that the hadith and the pious predecessors have commentated upon the hadith, have said that this is a sign of Qiyamah. For me, I cannot see today that not even one sign is left. That's it, just waiting for the blowing to occur. That said, because the scenario we're in today is very dangerous indeed. Anyway, alhamdulillah, in this hadith, there's mercy, there are rewards, a great reward, great message for the ummah. Great reward and great message for the ummah. And it doesn't matter what sort of generation we're living in. Alhamdulillah, the Quran and the hadith has given us cure, light, guidance, and has not left us empty-handed or lost, you could say, and desperate. So here, Hazrat Hamdallah radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased him, he presented his feelings to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the feelings that he communicated were with relation to that generation. So imagine this generation now today. If Hazrat Hamdallah radiyallahu anhu said, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when I leave your company, then my situation becomes different. Opposite, I feel like I'm a munafiq, I'm a hypocrite. In your gathering, in your company, I feel so strong and fantastic. When I go away from here, my home, my family, my children, my business, everything of the dunya that I have to interact with, and that feeling, emotion that I have with when I'm with you, I don't have that when I leave your company. So I'm a munafiq, I'm a hypocrite, because I'm different. So let's see ourselves now. What are we? What are we? Dunya, forget that generation, alhamdulillah, we can imagine. But let's imagine the conditions and the desperateness of the dunya today in this day and age, and the dirt, the evil that spread, and the impurities that embrace our hearts and our minds and our bodies. What situation are we living in? What iman do we have? Can we claim to be in a strong position? What sin is there that we do not commit from our eyes, from our tongues, with our bodies, with our earnings? Is there anything in our life that is free from sin? Is there anything that we do that we can say is perfect? So how will I have khair in the time of death and in the hereafter? That everything today is just tradition and culture, even ibadat are tradition and just for the sake of showing people empty, hollow boxes. That's what we are. And what should we be? So, Hazrat Hamdallah radiallahu anhu presented his, you can say, contrasting halat condition, that, O Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with you I'm so good and feel strong, but away from your company I feel weak. So how can we save ourselves today? So the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the solution, and this is what we need to look at. The Rasulullah sallam said that obviously it will be like this. We're living in the dunya, and this is going to happen, because in the dunya Allah Ta'ala has put effects of the dunya. Consequences, the dunya will have dirt, impurities, sins. When you go into the dunya outside, intercourse with society, then you will be affected by the society and the environment that you're in. So the Prophet ﷺ gave that solution, and Hazrat Hamdallah himself in this hadith gave the solution. The Rasulullah ﷺ said that obviously your condition will change. That when we get to the company of Rasulullah ﷺ, said the Sahaba, then we feel so strong and great. So Rasulullah ﷺ said that here's a secret within the statement, that until Qiyamah, until the time that Qiyamah comes, this is the hadith, that if there's somebody in the world who is reciting Allah's name, Qiyamah will not come. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam left such an action, alhamdulillah, until Qiyamah, that will continue to come. What is that? The Ahlullah. The Ahlullah, the people of Allah, the friends of Allah, the true lovers of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the imitators of the Sunnah. The true lovers, the true practicing people will continue to come to the dunya until Qiyamah. So what is the cure? Same cure. Hazrat Hamdallah radiallahu had that cure. He said, O Prophet of Allah, when I come to your company, I'm changed. I'm better. I'm improved. When I come to your sohbat, your company, I'm changed. I'm better. I feel so good and strong. And this is what happens in the company of the awliyaullah, friends of Allah. That when you feel weak and their sins and impurities are taking over you, then don't worry, don't fear. Best method, what is that? Go to the company of the awliya Allah. Sit in their company. Hadith tells us this. Take hold of the company of the awliya Allah, the friends of Allah. Just Hazrat Hamdallah said that, O Prophet of Allah, when I see your blessed face, your delightful face, I listen to your beautiful sentences and dialogue, then I am in the position of ihsan. I lift up to the level of ihsan. And obviously, that one sight of the Prophet ﷺ would take the Sahaba to ihsan. Same way, the awliya Allah. Now, if you see the awliya Allah, you remember Allah. If you listen to their words, then your knowledge increases. And if you sit next to them, then the sin starts to move away from your body, and you get closer to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala's closeness. And this is the sohbat of the walis of Allah, the awliya Allah. That if you sit in that company, in your heart, Allah Ta'ala's love increases, ittiba of sunnah comes into your life, imitation of the sunnah comes in your life, love for the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam comes in your life, dislike for sins comes into your life. So this is the proof that when a condition comes, when an environment comes, when society is in a bad state, just like Rasulullah said, alhamdulillah, you come and sit with me and you feel better. In the same way, whichever generation the ummah lives in the future, and whatever conditions befall them, and that will happen when we leave our homes in the house of Allah. So Allah Ta'ala has prepared the solution. Ahlullah, go, find a wali of Allah, sit in his company. Sit in the company and you will become clean and pure and feel good. And just like, alhamdulillah, you have reached to ihsan, same way, ummat muslimin, mutawatir, continuously, if they have the company of the walis of Allah, just like the wali of Allah prescribes him and tells him to sit in the company, then he also, that student, will get to the level of ihsan. So one question the Prophet made very light answer to us. Solve the predicament that we're in. Secondly, Hazrat Alhamdulillah said, Ya Rasulullah, when I leave your company, then I get worse. I'm not in the same position. I'm not at that position of ihsan. The Prophet said, ah, then there's a better cure. What you need to do at that time is your heart and your mind totally, you need to focus them towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are the words? Rasulullah said, do such a deed at that time, alhamdulillah, that when you leave my company and you feel that the heart is going towards sin, dunya, material things, bad thoughts, when you look here, you look something, you look here, you see something else. 8, 9, 10 hours you have to pass in the dunya, different people you're meeting, seeing, and in this environment we get all sorts A to Z. So when we have issues and problems and challenges and tests, and we feel our heart is weak, and we've left the majlis and the majlis of the pious person, the wali of Allah, the teacher, then Rasulullah said, when you're in the dunya, there's a very good solution, that as long as you're in the dunya, work, environment, society, what should you do? Such an amal, bring about the amal into your life which will influence your mind and your heart, and totally these two things, your mind and your heart, are focused and paying attention to Allah. So Hanza Alhamdulillah said, what is that deed? Allah Ta'ala dhikr, remembrance of Allah. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Praise be to Allah. Glory be to Allah. Great, great solution. Don't worry about society. Don't worry that we're living in a bad time. Until Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala says, doesn't matter, even if it's the worst of generations, for the person of Iman, he will save himself and his Iman by following these solutions. So two physical solutions. Doesn't matter what generation we're living, wherever we're living in the world, if it's a bad scenario, environment, number one, take hold of the company of the wali of Allah. Number two, do the dhikr of Allah. You have no danger to your Iman, guaranteed by the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Guaranteed. And this, will we get this or won't we get this? I've told you that until Qiyamah, there's a guarantee, Allah Ta'ala's guarantee, the walis of Allah will continue to be sent by Allah to the dunya. And Qiyamah will only come the time when the wali of Allah is not present in the world. So we say, oh, there were walis of Allah then, there aren't any now. No. No. Every generation, no place in the world, no region of the world is there where I am, and a person with Iman is not there, and Allah Ta'ala has not prepared for a mu'min to reach, where Allah Ta'ala has not constructed his masajid or Quran is not printed. It cannot be that Ramadan comes and there's a place in the world where Taraweeh is not recited. Allah says, wherever the mu'mineen are, Allah Ta'ala says, where a Muslim with Iman is there, Quran will reach them. Sujood will reach them. Prostration will lead there. Prostration will lead there. And also, tabligh will reach the Quran, the masjid, the house of Allah. Allah says, this is my system. I spread it all around the world. So it cannot be. Allah says that any generation will be void, devoid of Allah Ta'ala's wali, of his friend. So we can't make an excuse on the day of Qiyamah. Allah, I couldn't find a wali of Allah. There were no true sheikhs in my time. Allah says, no. I know how hard you tried. I know how many du'as you made. Allah, my heart is weak and I'm surrounded by sin. I'm sinning in my life. Allah, take me to your friend, wali. Allah says, if you ask that du'a during the day, if you don't get that sheikh before the evening, then come and tell me and complain to me. Allah says, you're asking me for that company that takes you to my connection. Allah says, if by the evening my wali doesn't come to you, then your heart doesn't feel that, then come and complain to me. But Allah says, we are deluding ourselves. We are trying to commit fraud with ourselves by saying we cannot find the right guidance in the world today. No, it's our faults. We aren't sincere. Everything relies on our intention. So if we're in a life and the time, the day and age we're living in, there's a bad situation, we are weak, Iman is low, we're going towards sin, we're desperate, we think, what shall we do? What can I do? If we want to stay with sin, then obviously that will give us a bad effect. But if you want to change your circumstances and improve your life, so number one, if you want to stay in darkness and sin and you don't want to change yourself and improve as a human being, so I saw by time's passing, I feel bad, I'm a sinner, I've got bad company. Sometimes I pray, mostly I don't pray, I do sins. Oh, it's just part of life, it's alright, just carry on. And we accept that we're going to live this life, then maut akhir will come. And if we carry on like this, brothers, we're going to drop into hellfire. But the second path, the alternative, and we have this iman, and definitely we have this iman, that when problems around us, it's hard to practice deen, we feel weak, sins are attached to us, we don't have any guidance, and we feel desperate, there's no one to assist. Don't complain. Don't complain. Don't doubt. If I want in my heart that I want my akhirah to be good, and I really want to be saved from the punishments, there's a very simple solution Allah has given, that go to the company of a wali of Allah and do dhikr of Allah. Both things in parallel. Straightforward solution. Straightforward. Do dhikr. When you do dhikr, Allah Ta'ala says, constant your heart and your mind will be focused on me, paying attention to me, respecting me. And this is not an example that, for example, we don't get physical example. There were two companions. They were in the marketplace, and after they met, and they were great sahabi. Great sahabi. And one sahabi took the other sahabi's hand and said, sit down. He said, why are you sitting me down? He said, let's increase our iman. He said, increase iman. I think it was Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu and the other sahabi. He said, iman, I've got iman already. And you're saying, let's strengthen our iman. Or let's bring about iman. So he took the sahabi and they sat down, they did dhikr of Allah. He said, let me go and speak to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, oh Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that I think it was Abu Darda, that maybe he did an ajeeb action today. He said that he sat me down in the marketplace and said, let's renew our iman or revive our iman. And Rasulullah said, what did you do then? He said, the dhikr of Allah. And Rasulullah said, he said, correct. He was correct. Subhanallah. Iman is strengthened through the dhikr of Allah. So my brothers, this is such a solution Allah has given to us. Dhikr, his remembrance, such a great reward. That every generation that comes to this world, there's protection from shaitan if we do dhikr of Allah. But before this, remember, you have to have niyyah. Pure intention. If you have niyyah, the Allah, I want to save myself from the darkness of the dunya, Allah, I want your help, I need your help, Allah, assist me. Otherwise, I am totally useless and I'll be overwhelmed, Allah. I'm surrounded, my heart, my mind, my eyes are surrounded and committing sin. And this time, and if before death I carry on like this, it will be very dangerous for me. Allah, I need your help. Allah, I know my salah is worthless. I know that my sujood is worthless, has no worth, no value. Allah, help me. Allah, give me your dhikr, allow me to do dhikr the way you've praised your dhikr, the way you've glorified your dhikr. Alhamdulillah, then go and find the company of a true, real teacher, Allah, a friend of Allah, with humbleness and sincerity, no drama, no precondition, and then follow this line of suluk. Allahu Akbar, Allah is great. We are sat here to do dhikr. If we take the tasbih and do dhikr, Allah promises that you keep on doing my dhikr with steadfastness, just like Hazrat Hamdallah radiyallahu anhu stated, that continue like this, and you will get to the level of ihsan. You will feel as if you are seeing Allah, if not Allah is seeing you. Your heart will feel that you can see the reality of the deen and the hereafter. Sin, you will see then the darkness of sin. When you get to ihsan, you will smell the stench of sin. And when you see sin, you will feel like it's a bad stench and smell. You won't even want to go near it. And you'll say, oh, because the dunya today is drowned in dunya, in sin. Oh, without sin, we can't succeed. But the mu'min who cleans his heart, does dhikr and focuses on Allah, even if the dunya forces him, say, no, I can't do this. Was Allah's revived Allah's awareness in the heart of the belief that he can never accept. Doesn't matter if the whole dunya is sinning. Sorry, I can't do this. Allah does not allow me to do this. My heart doesn't feel like doing this. Oh, you become, if the dunya will say, oh no, you're useless. Your children, they won't succeed. Your wife, you got no money. You got no comforts. You're not modern. You say, no, my heart doesn't feel like doing this. I can't sin. Allah will make your heart feel like this. Through what? Dhikr of Allah. But we have to do the dhikr, brothers. Can't just talk about it all day long. So if you see sins in your life surrounding you, influencing you, that I'm not practicing Sharia, I'm not implementing Sunnah, and I go towards haram and I leave the halal, and I don't care about my parents or my clothes or my libas or my home or my children, not 1 second of my life in the day is according to the principles of Sharia. And today just we've taken some ibadah, we run to prayer, alhamdulillah, even this is a great name of Allah. Great name of Allah. But why don't we do the true essence of the deen? Because sins are attached to us, super glued to our bodies, and we haven't washed them. Why? Just like you've got dirty body and it smells, and then you put new clothes on that body. Even through the clothes, the smell will spread and people will smell you and try to stay away. This is our life, that we have got smell of sins next to us, and then we try to do salah on top of that. Then even the salah, it gets affected by the smell of the sin. So when we know all of this, and Allah Ta'ala has given us the path, that this is the path, go find the company of the Wali of Allah, take his sohbat, his company, alhamdulillah. Whenever you get a chance, sit in his company, listen to him, and listen passionately with a yearning, with a desire, and the dhikr he prescribes to you, do it morning and evening. He's not been told down, go in the dunya, or work, or have children, or have family. Hazrat alhamdulillah, was not told by Rasulullah that leave your family, wife, and children, and don't go into the dunya. No, you'll have to do this. Rasulullah said, this will happen. Don't change the things in the world, rather change yourself. We have to improve ourselves. We will have to improve ourselves. So in this day and age, especially, let's remember that iman, to depart from this world with iman, we are desperate for two things. Desperate. To have the company of the wali of Allah, and to learn and do the dhikr of Allah. The tariqah of dhikr is not, this is not some scale. That what you've been told in the hadith, that if those feelings and emotions, for example, if they come into your heart when you go to a gathering, Allah's love, alhamdulillah, you feel peace, content, start to hate the sins. When you sit in that gathering, you get this result, and the dunya's ghaib disappeared from your mind and heart, and Allah Ta'ala's remembrance is coming in your mind and heart. You hear good things, your passion for Islam increases. That's it. You found it. That's it. The jackpot. You've struck the jackpot. You've got the jackpot. And that when your heart feels good at that time, then you struck gold. Then you can consider and believe that Allah Ta'ala has taken me to the right place. Now I'm not going to leave this place, this company. Become so steadfast and regular. Then shaitan can say to you, no, don't go there. You don't have to go there. Go somewhere else. Say, no, I've got my destination now. Constantly, regularly, steadfastly. I don't have time now in my life. Let me test this sheikh, that teacher, this person. You know, we test walis of Allah. Imagine, we test, oh, is he good? Is he high in status? Is he the best speaker? Is he like this? How will you reach to Allah Ta'ala's nearness, brothers? When you feel peace, dhikr of Allah has come to your heart, you feel good, it's improved your life, you're getting tarbiyah, islah, rectification, stick yourself to that place. Allah Ta'ala says that maybe another opportunity won't come. You've been given the gathering, then why are you running around left and right looking for other solutions? Your objective is to attain Allah's nearness, not to get a human being as a teacher and say, oh, he's the best, and I have to go to his place. No, if you feel through the company of the sheikh that you're getting close to Allah, your heart's feeling good, soft, you're leaving the sins, and you're compatible with that sheikh, very important. You feel, because you have to sit with the sheikh, learn from the sheikh, you get faiz from the sheikh. If you don't have the connection with the teacher, raghbat, desire, the yearning, then you can't benefit from that relationship. Remember this. If you don't have that yearning, desire, so you can't force someone, oh, go to this sheikh, be bear with that sheikh. Oh, no sheikh will say, take bear with me. You must take bear with me. No, it's a two-way process. This is a nikah, spiritual nikah. Both sides have to say that I accept. Both sides, the student and the teacher. A G point is coming. Just like a nikah, when a husband and wife get married, and the husband gives a mahar and the dowry, and she says, I accept. And here is also mahar. You get the dhikr of Allah from the sheikh. And this is the mahar of this nikah, the dhikr of Allah, the dowry, subhanAllah. So where you go to the gathering of a sheikh, you like what you hear, you feel good, content, peace. Don't look left and right, oh, he's greater, he's a better sheikh, his name's more famous, he's a great personality. No, sometimes Allah's written in your destiny, such a sheikh who's not known, nobody knows his name, nobody knows where he is. But Allah Ta'ala knows that this sheikh will suit you. Maybe you run after a great personality, big name, he doesn't look at you, doesn't speak to you, keep getting pushed up to the back, you don't get time, no sohbat, no company after 4 or 5 years, then you see him again. Do you have life? Do you have that time that we can say for sure we'll see him again? In 4 years, if you spend time in 4 years with one person, you could have gone really to the heights. You could have gone from here to here to here to heights. So slowly, istiqamat. But no one's saying that in one sitting you'll go to the Wali of Allah's company and you'll become Bayezid Bastami or Junaid Baghdadi. No, not in one sitting. Slowly. Follow the practice, prescription, sins will leave your body. When you know this path, the right path, the path that the Prophet ﷺ prescribed to his sahabi, and all of his fear came out. The Rasulullah ﷺ said, you cannot be munafiq, alhamdulillah. He was such a great sahabi. When he presented his emotions, he said, Rasulullah ﷺ, I've become a munafiq. We say, I'm the best Muslim. No one's better than me. I'm full of dirt and impurities and sins. And I think I'm the best. I'm pious. But no. He's a sinner. He's a sinner. He's useless. I'm high. I'm close to Allah. I do this. I do these ibadah. Look at this nafs today of ours. Such a great sahabi said to the Prophet, I'm a munafiq. Did he not pray salah? Did he not read Quran? And the greatest ibadah, Allahu Akbar. to see the blessed face of the Prophet ﷺ, the greatest brother. And that man, Hazrat Abdullah radiallahu anhu, is saying, I've become a munafiq, despite he had all of these opportunities. So imagine his fear and khawf, despite having all these attributes and qualities. Just on this point, that Rasulullah ﷺ, does it happen that when I leave your company, that I feel different and weaker? And Rasulullah ﷺ gave them the cure, the solution, that's useful for us until Qiyamah. That's not the shan, the quality of a Muslim, that his iman goes up and down. He should be trying to stay constant. Either he stays in the company of his sheikh as much as possible, so the fares comes to him and noor comes to him. When he's far from his sheikh, then do dhikr of Allah regular, and be in either of these conditions. That's why we have the qalbi dhikr, the dhikr of the heart, totally every second we should have this niyyah of the heart, that Allah Ta'ala's rahmah, the rahmah of Allah Ta'ala's noor is coming to my heart, and my heart is saying Allah, doesn't matter how much sinful you are, your eyes are looking at bad things, your heart saying bad things, don't leave maraqaba. Dhikr of Allah. Why? Because Rasulullah gave this cure to his blessed companions radiallahu anhum. Such a great action. And to such a great companion, Hazrat Alhamdulillah, that do this action. Do this, don't leave this action. Alhamdulillah. And totally, if you are regular in this, Alhamdulillah, with this istiqamah, you go to the pious company and do dhikr of Allah, then Allah's mercy will come to you. You will leave the sins. Your life will change for the better. And your heart will dislike the sins. But don't lack hope. Don't be despondent. Don't say, if someone says to you, do you know I want to go to London? Can you tell me how to get there? I'm getting lost. I don't know. If someone says, look, great straight path, M6, and you have yaqeen, and you go into the car and you drive straight M6 down, and you listen to the Quran, the CD, and etc. You say, oh, I don't need to come off track, you know. I know the straight road down to the south of England, and you'll go with ease. And so even if there's roadworks on the way and construct, you say, no, I've got the sign. I know this motorway. Somebody found you. Are you coming? What time are you going to come? Yeah, I found out the way. Don't worry, I'll be there soon because I found the path. And look here now. Rasulullah is telling us the path to Allah. Doesn't matter what generation comes, darkness, sin, fitna, fasad, just take hold of two things, said Rasulullah. And with this niyyah, that Allah, I want to be on the right path. I don't want to be affected by dunya. Not that you're sitting in the company of the sheikh and you are acting in opposition to everything he says. He says to you, keep the full beard and your beard's still short. He says to you, morning and evening come to dhikr and you don't even go to dhikr. No, I've got to run to my shop. The sheikh says, do this action ABC. And no, I can't do that. And the sahaba, did they do this? No, they followed the prescription to the T. When they went to the company of Rasulullah, such words and advice were given to them. And when you go to the company of the wali, the sheikh, he will advise you that will take you to Allah. He has no personal relationship or greed to get dunya from you. He will give you that advice and pearls that you need, you're desperate for. And if you don't sit with this niyyah in the wali's company, you can sit there all lifelong, but then you are a munafiq. This is the hypocrite, that he goes to the company of the wali of Allah and he doesn't follow the advice. He wants to do what he feels. He doesn't want to hear what the wali is saying. He doesn't want to listen to the sheikh. He doesn't want to implement the sheikh's orders, prescription. He sits there and comes back home saying, Allah Ta'ala says, what kind of game are you playing? There cannot be no bigger hypocrite than you. I sent you to the sheikh, to the wali, because this is the path that he will save you from nifaq. He will purify you within, in your heart, in your batin, in your soul, and your nafs will be removed. That you follow your desires and you follow sin. That leave that path and come to Allah Ta'ala's preference, Allah Ta'ala's liking. That steering, your steering needs to be adjusted. Until today you're steering in the lane called nafs and shaitan. I'll wear this libas today, I'll keep the short beard today, I'll trim the beard. This is following desires. So we have to leave this point and come to Allah Ta'ala's preference, Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. So that's why Allah Ta'ala said, I sent you to the sheikh, to the teacher, listen to the sheikh's speech and his bayan and his words and his precious pearls and his advice. And if you reject that as well, then it's like na'udhu billah. Hazrat Alhamdulillah Radhiyun could have said in front of the Prophet, no, oh Rasul, I don't want to listen to you, I'll do what I feel like, astaghfirullah. Did he say this? So why do we do this today? Go with the right niyyah that this man, he's a wali, he's a pious person, I need to do amal on what he's saying so I can succeed. Doesn't matter if it looks hard in the beginning, looks difficult. Sheikh says haram, leave it. Leave the haram. That's it. That's it. Even if you feel it's hard, when I went to my Hazrat, my Sheikh, mashallah, you are pious people, I was so useless, an empty box when I went to my Sheikh. But I had a correct intention. And that intention I took was that, look, I want to be improved. I want to improve. I didn't have fraud in my heart. I wasn't a cheat. Hazrat didn't ask me. Hazrat said to me, why have you come? I said, I want to come here to correct myself. I want to become better. Hazrat looked at me, top to bottom, subhanallah. And he said, you've come here to correct yourself? To improve yourself? I said, yes. Hazrat said, promise? I said, promise. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. From that day till now, I've tried my best of whatever Hazrat have told me to practice and implement his advice and guidance. That's it. Once you're sold, you're sold. When a woman is in nikah, and gets married, the contract is sealed. Then she's with you all your life. She's with you and she will be with you and your companion. Doesn't matter if your eyes or nose or you feel bad, you get old and fragile. She says, doesn't matter what you are, my husband, but you're my husband. I'm going to go with you. You're angry. You hit me. You beat me. You scold me. But doesn't matter. But I'm in your destiny, husband. Whatever you do, I will withstand and bear, because the good wife, she will continue to travel with you on the journey through the ups and downs. So when we get a sheikh, a wali wala as our guide, then we listen to the sheikh's advice. Doesn't matter if it feels hard or seems hard or hears hard or whatever, because we've got the guide, we've got the solution. So now, do you want to divorce from the teacher? If you take the divorce, then when will you get the second wife? You'll look for all the rest of your life. Then they'll say, oh, then you start remembering the first wife. Oh, she was good. Oh, why did I leave her? At least she served me and helped me and assisted me. Then the first sheikh, you remember, oh, I used to go to my sheikh and I was better. I was a good man. I felt peace now. But you rejected Allah's ni'mah. So Allah says it's hard to get again. So brothers, great hadith that I read this after Asr, and I said I need to share this with my friends. You will have heard this hadith. It's not some new hadith that I'm discussing with you. It's in Fazail Amal. It's not some new points I'm giving to you. But this came into my heart and I felt that I need to rectify myself, a great path, and now I need to share this with my friends. Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. Allah has given us His karam, His mercy and blessings, that we are in a dirty situation in our lives, impurities and sins, that Allah has given us a solution. Go to the company of the wali of Allah and learn the dhikr of Allah. That's it, two solutions. And when you learn this, your whole day you will be immersed in dhikr and with yaqeen, certainty that this path is not being prescribed to me by some small time consultant. Doesn't matter what I feel in my mind and heart, that oh, I can't leave the sins, I can't be improved, I can't be better. Never think this, because when you go on to the right track, the right path, alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, ta'ala promises that you will leave this world with iman, with belief. Have istiqamah, steadfast. Will you do this, my friends? Brothers, yes, paths come and wasawis come. Shaitan whisper, leave, there's no benefit. I can't feel the nur in heart. Totally don't listen to the wasawis. Doesn't matter what happens, I'm not going to leave this path. Company of the Shaykh and the dhikr of Allah, because Rasulullah prescribed this to his blessed companion. And I'm doing amal on this action. The question doesn't arise, I'll leave this, nor will I leave dhikr, nor will I leave the company of my Shaykh. That's it. Two things I'm not going to reject. I'll reject many other things. Maybe I'll sin. I'll ask Allah for forgiveness again. I'll do things. And another beautiful point comes out here from this hadith. Another point comes to my mind. The Hazrat Handala radiallahu anhu, what did he do? When he had this condition, what did he do? What did he do? Did he run away? He could have prayed to Raka Nafal Salatul Hajit or done dua, Allah help me. He was a companion. He knew the solutions. He knew Dhikr of Allah. But where did he go running to? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, subhanallah. He showed us, this is sunnah. When you're desperate, feeling bad, low, sinful, go to your sheikh straight away and present your circumstances. Share them. And when your sheikh does dua for you, then the effect of his dua will be massive. Massive, many times over than yours. So Hazrat Handala could have done tahajjud, he could have done tasbih, astaghfirullah when he felt bad, he could have done it to sajda, salatul hajjud, recited Quran. You're a companion, you could have done dua. Why did you go to the Prophet? No, he ran to his teacher, crying, asking, I'm a munafiq, I'm a hypocrite, I'm lost. And he didn't care how many men were sitting there at the Sahaba. He wasn't embarrassed. When you sin, go to your sheikh, teacher, Hazrat, I've committed sin, do dua for me, I'm destroyed. I've sinned in front of Allah. That's tasawwuf, brothers. We're hiding our sins. No, 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 I'm good. I'll hide it from myself and my teacher. Allah knows everything. Allah knows. And on the sheet we lie, we give ticks when there should be crosses. I've never done salah, qada. I pray all my salahs in jama'ah. Tick, 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 tick. I've never sinned. Tick, 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 tick. No, 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 no. I'm pious. I try to keep my beard, but it doesn't grow. It just goes inside the hair. It doesn't come out of the chin. Have you ever heard this in your life before? The hair's going inside. It's not coming out. This is totally nonsense. So there's no system that we've made proper to follow the advice. But alhamdulillah, first lesson of the tasawwuf, have a connection, a relationship with your sheikh. Siddaq, truth, honesty, sincerity. O Prophet of Allah said, alhamdulillah, I'm a munafiq, I'm a hypocrite. Rasulullah said, no problem, that's fine, it will happen, and here's the cure. So this is the first step. When you're in a bad state, darkness, go to who? If you don't go to your sheikh, who will you go to? Tell me, where will you go? That if you don't have friendship with the wali of Allah, where will you go? Where will I go? Where should we go? The important point, that from far, if you're far, write the letter. If you have a sheikh close to you. Rather, it should be in your town, city. Do dua to Allah, that Allah give me a sheikh near my house. Allah Ta'ala knows that person cannot travel, go far. How can I go far? I know he's a great sheikh, but I can't travel so far. Or You hear that I can't even go from one town to another. I don't have time. I've got a job, Allah. I'm employed. I finish work. Then I've got children, my wife. I've got to sit with them at home. How can I go to this other town to do dhikr? I'm busy, but I want to do dhikr as well. Allah says, don't worry. I will open the shop for dhikr for you. The business. I'll open the shop, the dhikr shop, on your doorstep, known place, various places in the town. Is that okay? Even if you don't go, then what answer will we give to Allah on the Day of Judgment? Dhikr is happening. We're sitting at home. He's saying, no, I'm going to be fine. I'm going to be fine. What sort of munafiqat is this? Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. Allah's given us the prescription. Allah's given us time, wife, children, family. Fine, give them 2 hours. Not every day 2 hours, look in their face. You keep looking at me, husband, and I'll keep looking at you, wife. 2 hours every evening. Can you do this? After a few days, she'll throw slippers at you and you'll throw shoes at her. You'll get fed up with each other, too much in front of each other. She'll say, no, go and do your work. No, I'm watching you, my wife, and she says, I'm watching you. Dhikr, we'll do dhikr some other day, some other decade. This is not the drama, brothers. This is not the drama life. Soon as Adhan is called, Adhan, the talib, the student, true, honest talib, soon as the notification comes, ring like an alarm bell. Look, Allah Ta'ala has prepared this. Allah Ta'ala has prepared this. Not us, is it? Have we ever seen this? Ever heard this today? Notification every evening, ring, and the text comes to the phone. Zikr is here today, this time, just like Adhan, 5 times a day. Alhamdulillah. Allah Ta'ala prepared this. I didn't do this. I didn't prepare this. Yes. So a man becomes zealous and majlis. We make excuses. No, I'm sleepy. Work, wife, children. No. Allah's given everything. Time, work, certain time, hours of the day. Night, you can go to your wife. You can talk to her in the night. Come back from the majlis, drink tea. What nonsense is this? I have to sit with my wife for 4 hours. Go to the masjid. Allah's calling you. Do your islah. Why the dirt of the whole day that's on your heart? How many sins you made in the day? If you don't wash them, clear them, and you die, then this is jahannam. Jahannam. Stand, wash yourself, purify yourself, cleanse yourself. Alhamdulillah. 30-45 minutes you do dhikr, you sit in the majlis, all the day's impurities, sins, all of them will be removed, and you will earn for the whole day such barakah. You go home after the majlis, such beautiful blessings will come. Your health, your children, your family, your barakah, because you've just attended a majlis, massive majlis. Allah says, this is such a gathering. The man who comes to this gathering will never leave empty handed. Impossible. And if Allah, creator of the universe, master of the universe, is saying this, that if you attend the majlis of dhikr and you cannot leave empty handed, then we leave the majlis of dhikr for the dirty dunya? How can this be? How can I have the capability that I come and do dhikr? Until today, I've not done this. I'm not arranged. It's not my capability. I've never heard in my life, morning and evening, the amount of dhikr I've seen in Bolton, I've never seen in my life. I've never, morning and evening, morning and night. What great people, such great village, the Gujarati brothers, and due to their presence and honor, our destinies, man, we are useless Pakistanis. The Gujaratis, mashallah, Gujarati brothers, they are very worthy, capable, revived, and they've given us the opportunity to improve our iman due to the sadqa of their company. So we need to have determination, courage. If we don't have determination, then it's so sad. The most important point at this moment in time, I'm telling you, is the dhikr of Allah in the life. Two things, company of the sheikh and the dhikr of Allah. The most important factors of life. And this action, the company of the sheikh and the dhikr of Allah, will revive our ruh and our soul. So my hazrat, my sheikh said, you can compensate for everything in life, but one thing you can't compensate for is missing the company of the sheikh. So if you do qada, you delay the company of the sheikh, Allah knows best what the jalli or mercy or blessing was to come to you if you had attended the gathering of your sheikh teacher. Allah's special, khas mercy is descending in the gathering of the wali of Allah. Very special, unique, massive rahmah and mercy comes to the gathering of the wali of Allah. All the saliks, the students who come to the gathering of the sheikh, everyone feels a different emotion. I swear by Allah, and I tell you this, remember this point. Never compensate the gathering of the wali of Allah, where angels descend from the skies, from the heavens, the clouds open, the heavens open. Imagine that gathering, tell me. And we leave it for dunya. We make a fast. I'm tired, or I don't feel like it, etc. May Allah Ta'ala give me the tawfiq. I'm lazy. Let's give each other encouragement. Life is short, no guarantee. Death can come anytime. May Allah give us fadal. That this is not even a mujahida. You don't have to make effort. Look, after Maghrib, you have to just pray Isha. It's only an hour in between. You go home, spend the hour. You could have sat home and listened on the receive, except no. But Allah Ta'ala is taking us to His home. What are we earning here? The hearts are opening and are being filled with the nur and the light and the satisfaction and the peace. Allah Ta'ala, He's speaking about Allah and His Rasul Sallam, encouragement is increasing, the deen is increasing, iman is increasing, we are focusing on Allah, paying attention to Allah, getting closer to Allah, angels are doing dua for us. Allahu Akbar. Can we get more than, what more do we want than this in half an hour? Can we earn more than this in half an hour? for the hereafter. And today, then the morning again, after 6-7 hours, 5-6 hours, this majlis will come again. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Be proud, O Bolton inhabitants. Others cry. In this majlis, there are 800 people involved joining into this gathering in the world. 800, 1000. Look at the figures. How many people are following, listening? 800, 900, 1000 in the majlis, in the whole world at this moment in time, are listening and sitting like you. They're probably crying that how fortunate are those people in Bolton who are sitting in front of the Sheikh, listening to the Sheikh directly. And this will open tomorrow. The veils will open tomorrow, will be drawn back. Are they mad? In Pakistan, what is the time now? Tell me, what's the time in Pakistan? 1 a.m.? 4 or 5 hours ahead. What's the time in Zambia? Now, I'll phone you them now and tell you that how many families are awake now in Zambia and Africa. I'm not lying. I'm sitting on the prayer mat in Allah's house. How many sisters and kids are awake? I swear by Allah, children in Africa, Indian subcontinent, 5, 6, 7, 8 hours ahead. In America now, they're 6 hours behind us. They're listening. Indonesia, Holland, Hong Kong. Is there a country I cannot name to you where their people are not sitting and listening to the dhikr through the receiver right now? Alhamdulillah. I swear by Allah, I'll tell you this. And then they are proud and they say that what are those people who live in Bolton and they don't even go to the majlis that's across the road from the house, and we are here 6-7 hours behind or in front and we are waiting for the majlis. How sad when Allah will ask us on the judgment, I gave you the greatest ni'mah, that in front of your house dhikr was happening and you were lost and I gave you physically dhikr and those people were so far away, they're attending the gathering. So should we leave this? Never. And Allah has consistently given this regularly. Allah says that if you are leaving the majlis due to a job, then Allah says this is your 10 pounds even if it was reduced. 10 pounds if you earned less that day in your business. Remember that 10 pounds you would have less, earned less, you would have got 10,000 more times over benefit and blessing. And I swear by Allah, I've seen this in my life. If for the sake of Allah you sacrifice dunya, Allah Ta'ala doesn't take a loan from anybody. Allah never keeps the loan. Allah says, I repay you there and then in this world before death. I have seen the record. Never in my life, if I had a time, 5-6 hours I have to work in the day. I had a business. I was a businessman. I ran businesses. Dunya was around me. Shopping, buying, selling, warehouses, profit, Christmas time sale. I had a shop. I had a business. Wallahi, in my life, never did I go to buy the stock. People said, he's mad. He's not running after more profit. Whatever 5-6 hours of work I did in the day, then I closed my shop. Shutters down. Never did I go on a Sunday or a Saturday or warehouse for more stock. People know my record. I didn't run around like a headless chicken for more. That's it. Whatever I wanted to give me in these 5-6 hours of work in the day is enough for me. Alhamdulillah. End of story. That's it. Why run more? Run more. Because I have to give time to Allah. I didn't feel tight or squeezed. I've had chapatis and food in my life. I ate every day. Allah gave me so much. Alhamdulillah. More. So never run around desperate. If you give Allah Ta'ala time, you say, Allah, if I now close my shop and I stop working now, 5-10 minutes earlier, I close my shop, let's go to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala now. Why am I doing this? For Allah Ta'ala's company, that I'm doing it for my benefit, that I'm going to go now and do dhikr of Allah. Remember Allah. But shaitan and nafs, because the verse of the Quran tells us the first enemy of going to Allah is who? Shaitan. He'll say, where are you going to eat from? Oh, you need to earn some more. You need some more profit. You got to travel. 10 pounds more. More customers are going to come if you close early. Never. Beware. Soon as you see the time, notification, think of time. That says stop work, go home, clean up, wash up, purify. That's it. Go to the masjid. Do wudu straight to the house of Allah. Dhikr of Allah. That's it. No excuse, no delay. That I'm going to do dhikr of Allah and He will give me more after that. The person who I'm remembering, Allah, the creator of the universe, the master, the creator, He will give me more. So you have to make effort and give to Allah. And then Allah says, I'll give to you. I'll give to you. You have to sacrifice your nafs, your desires. Your desires. So should we do this, brothers? Are we going to do this? Inshallah, try best. What we know is the path of Allah. Try your best. Keep on crushing your desires, your nafs. Then you will attain Allah Ta'ala's nearness. And Allah's rewards are massive, massive in magnitude. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen. Recite the root of you.